All right, good singing all the way around. That's just a blessing from on high. And so, y'all, we made the transaction. We already delivered the package and all that business. They're good. That's a good deal all the way around. I certainly appreciate your giving and generosity, yes. And so we bless the Lord for that. And how about a poem? Yeah, you have to follow close. It's good to have the Gullicks. Brother Gullick does not travel alone. He brings his wife and dog, and they now travel in a nice motor dwelling. Did you get that? I mean, there ought to be something better that would fit with that, but it is a dwelling. And yeah. Anyhow, he's from Fulton, Mississippi, full-time evangelism, him and his wife. And let me tell you right now, is that we're glad to have him. What's the dog's name?
Macho.
Macho? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did y'all ever see that movie which I know y'all probably don't watch TV, but did y'all ever see that with Eddie Murphy? And he was singing and like he was an instructor, you know, and he was singing the song, Macho, Macho Man. I want to be a macho man. And that's terrible, isn't it? No preacher ought to be able to hear a word and equate 10 movies to it. Come on, Brother Gullick. We're going to go ahead and get your business, get you turned on, and we'll look forward to that. And all that, if that, don't you worry about a thing. If that Bible blows up from Ben, we'll pick up the pages.
All right. Sounds good. I had already sat there and rehearsed how I was going to express my disappointment with not getting a poem this year. Every time I've ever come here, I got a poem, and typically it's in the beginning of the service during the announcements, and so I was just certain that I wasn't going to get the poem this time. And so thank you for that. I really would have been disappointed. I was expecting it and looking forward to it and was not disappointed with such wonderful prose and structure, syntax. Just amazes me at your poetical ability. And so thank you so much for allowing Jeannie and I to come and be with you today. I told Pastor when I asked him about coming this Sunday, I told him, I said, look, you don't have to get us a room. We got our own motor home, and we carry our own food on it, and you don't have to buy us any nice meals. And they took us out and bought us a great meal for lunch. I told him, so you don't have to take up any special offerings or anything like that. And then he took up the offering tonight, and it's a tremendous offering for a Sunday. A lot of churches won't give me that much for preaching all week. And so thank you so much. I'm grateful, Jeannie and I, from the bottom of our heart. And we love coming here, not just because you're so hospitable, and we do enjoy that, that you take care of preachers and you're kind and friendly, and we enjoy that. We do. But I love coming here because the way y'all do church is the way I believe that church ought to be done. And, it's how church was done when I first got saved and how everybody was doing church 30 years ago. And almost nobody's doing church that way anymore. And it's just refreshing for us to come here and be with and under a pastor who has authority and masculinity and never has compromise and not going to compromise and not going to back up. And to come to a church where, all the men are the head of their household and women still wear dresses and skirts. Jeannie and I believe all this stuff, and children are obedient and respectful, and it's just refreshing for us to be here with you. And there's just so few, I'm not trying to toot your horn, so Pastor might let me come back again sometime, but I'm being honest with you. Churches just ain't what churches used to be, even of what would be considered our kind of churches. It's not like it used to be anymore. And thank you for staying with the old stuff and not compromising, and just a great encouragement to Jeannie and I. So thank you for the good singing. You always do a great job and great songs that magnify the Lord, and I appreciate it. Turn in your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 36 in the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. Now, if you're wondering where that's at in the Bible, of course, it comes right after 1 Chronicles. And so that'll help you. And, of course, it comes right before Ezra as well. And so 2 Chronicles chapter number 36. And I want to look at two verses here tonight and hopefully encourage our hearts. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And I want to read and preach from verse 15 and 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 15 and 16. Verse 15, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy." I want to preach from these two verses tonight on making the best of a bad situation. Making the best of a bad situation. These verses and this book, 2 Chronicles, this chapter, brings us to the historical ending of the Old Testament. Okay? Now, I know Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, but when it comes to the historical books, all right, 2 Chronicles 36 brings us to the end of Old Testament history. And this is how that epic, that time period, or as I'll refer to in a moment, that dispensation ended. So that what you have here in these two verses is, if you put it under the microscope, what the historian is describing is Babylon destroying Jerusalem, the temple, and taking Jews into captivity, and their return from the captivity, and they're still fighting these prophets and rejecting them. And so the historical setting is the end of the Old Testament. But at the same time, these verses give us a view of the whole history of the prophetic time from Elijah to Malachi. And so this is a two-verse summary on the ministry and role of the prophet towards the end of the Old Testament period. A whole history, if you will, of prophetism in Israel. And every prophet that God called from Elijah to Malachi fits into this description of God sending these prophets, sending these messengers, how they're going to be treated, and how that age, that Old Testament age, ended. Okay? And what you find from these verses and any study of any of the prophets is that every one of them that God called were placed in a bad situation. Every one of them. Every one of these ministers, every one of their ministries were in it's just a bad situation that they're in. And one of the things that we learn from studying the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Elijah and Isaiah and Amos and Hosea and all the way through Malachi, one of the things that they teach us is how that they had to learn how to make the best out of the bad situation to which they had been called. Okay? Making the best of a bad situation. And probably every one of us here in some way probably has some situations that are not ideal, if not situations that are just downright bad that you're dealing with. When it comes to a bad situation, you can approach it in one of two ways. It's up to you how you're going to deal with that situation. Number one, you can make the worst of a bad situation. That is, you can take a bad situation and you can make it worse than it already is. Or you can take a bad situation that is outside of your control and you can make the best of that situation. Now, I can't tell you how many times in my life that I have been in a bad situation and I have made that situation worse. Hello, anybody here, you know anything about that? It's already a bad deal. And somehow or another, I figured out how to pour gas on it and make it worse. Whether it was my anger or my impatience or my mouth or whatever, you know, it takes a long time to learn the whole principle, H-O-L-E. You know what the whole principle is, don't you? You don't have to learn this now. When you're in one, stop digging. That's a tough lesson to learn. So you can be in a bad situation tonight. And if you don't handle that right, you're gonna take it from bad to worse. All right? And this is true. This is true in the home and the family. It's true in marriage. It's true with your job. It can be true with the church. It can be true with your health. Any of your interpersonal relationships, you're going to be in some bad situation. You can make it worse. Or we can learn from the prophets here how to take a bad situation and make the best of it. Making the best out of a bad situation. And I want to say three things concerning these verses tonight, and I'll be done. Number one, I want you to think with me about the pitiful times of this bad situation that these preachers, if you will, these prophets are in. The pitiful times. I've already mentioned that every prophet that God called, He called them because a prophet was needed because the times were so bad. Okay, the times were bad. God doesn't call and raise up prophets until the times get so bad that it demands the ministry of a prophet. Okay, does that make sense? You won't need a prophet. God didn't call prophets when the times was going good. All right? God raised up the prophets and the prophetic ministry because the times required it. It just demanded it. They are men that God has called and gifted for those times, for these pitiful times. And the thing about the prophets is that all of them were preaching. God began to raise them up and to use them at the end of the Old Testament period or at the end of that age. In other words, their ministry that they were executing was a ministry that was conducive to the times or the end of their age, or if I can use this biblical word, the end of their dispensation. Their dispensation was coming to an end. It's coming to a close, all right? And they are ministering and laboring at the end of that age, that dispensation, at the end of their times, at the end of their current world. God has raised them up. All right? And here is the hallmark and the trademark of their times, and that is it's just getting worse and worse and worse. You can see that in the verses we read, in verse 15, 16. Every prophet God raised up. That prophet would minister, and then it'd get worse, and God would raise up another prophet, and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse all the way to the end of the age, all right? That's when God was raising them up. And it's interesting, if you go back to verse 11, and I'm not going to take time to do that, Freddy's is calling tonight. I've already got a promise of Freddy's hamburgers, and so. I could expound from verse 11 through verse 17, but, you know, in verse 11 up until you get to verse 15, the writer is talking about the history and ministry of kings and the history and ministry of priests and then the history and ministry of the prophets. And it's interesting in Israel's history and their national history. The first office that God raised up was the office of the priest. And that's how, in the beginning of that dispensation, that's what God was working through as priests. And then after he is working through priests, in the middle of that history, or those times, He raised up kings, and he began to work through kings, David and Solomon, 19 kings in the northern kingdom, 19 kings in the southern kingdom. God's working through kings. All right? But at the end of that period, this is when God begins raising up prophet after prophet, sometimes multiple prophets that are working and preaching together at the end of that age. And you say, what has that got to do with us and our bad situation? Well, just like these prophets were ministering in pitiful times, I think we could all agree that we are living and ministering tonight in some very pitiful times. Pitiful times. And you know why? You know why the times are so pitiful? It's because, like the prophets, you and I are also ministering at the end of our age. Do you believe Jesus is coming soon? Do you believe that time is winding down? To use our Lord's phrase, that the end of the world, or the end of this world, the end of this age is coming to a close, and that you and I are living at the end of this age that we're in. All right? When Jesus comes and sets up His kingdom, it'll be a new age. It'll be a new day. Okay? But you and I, like the prophets, are... they were living at the end of that dispensation and that age. You and I are living at the end of this dispensation and age that's been going on for 2,000 years, this age between the first and second coming of our Lord. And if you know anything about ages, dispensations in the Bible, every one of them starts with power and glory and hope and promise. And then every single age is mentioned, in every dispensation mentioned in the Bible. All right, I count seven, some as count as many as nine. However many of them you count, every dispensation or age in the Bible, every one of them ends the same way, with anarchy, with apostasy, and with apathy. That's how every age ends in the Bible. Right? And then God has to start a new age and a new day and give new hope and a new promise, because every age ends, they all end in just pitiful, pitiful, pitiful times. Okay? So you got that before we move to the second thing. These prophets are ministering at the end of the age. It's pitiful times they're in. You and I, their times were and are a mirror of the very times that we're living in. There's times of terrible wickedness, political wickedness, sexual wickedness, a time of absolute moral anarchy, a time of absolute doctrinal apostasy, a time of absolute spiritual apathy. And so God keeps raising up prophets. God keeps raising up. They're not priests. They're not kings. It's no time for priests. It's no time for kings. This is a time for prophet like men and ministries. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is times like we're living in needs a church just like this. What I'm saying is that the times that we're living in needs a preacher, a man just like this. Here's the thing about the prophets. They don't answer to kings and they don't answer to priests. Priests and kings were born into their office. Priests and kings were priests and kings because their daddy was a priest and their daddy was a king, and they were born in. Prophets weren't born into their office. They were called by God and raised up because priests and kings weren't getting the jobs done. And prophets never answered to a king or a priest, but priests and kings answered to the prophet. And I know tonight we don't have prophets in the official sense like they did in the Old Testament, the beginning before the New Testament was completed. But there is a need today for men like your preacher. There is a need today for men that are tougher than a $2 steak and got a backbone of steel that can stand up and preach. We need some churches that'll stand up when all the other churches are compromising and going another direction to draw more people in. Thank God. Thank God there's still some churches out there. Keep being that church. This time needs churches like this and preachers like this. It's a bad situation. We got to make the best of it. We got to make the best of it in these pitiful times. Now, the second thing that I want to point out is not only the pitiful times of this situation being described here, but I want to point out, number two, these painful trials in these times, the painful trials. Now, how were these type preachers, and if I could apply it this way, these type of churches, how were they treated at the end of that age? Well, same way that if you're a true church and a true preacher, same way you're going to be treated in this age. Amen. Verse 16 said, they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets. That's what you can expect. Pitiful times are going to produce some painful trials. I can preach on this forever. I'm not going to. I told you, Freddy's is calling, but now listen to me. Some pitiful times where churches are cozying up to LGBTQ+, cozying up to abortion, cozying up to feminism, and pitiful times in a bad situation. Those pitiful times are going to produce some painful trials. So that you're going to be mocked. And they say, y'all still do that at that church? Yeah, we do. Going to be despised and misused. It's the way John the Baptist was treated. It's the way all the prophets were treated. I'm quite certain it's the way your pastor's been treated. It's the way I've been treated. And it's the way any man of God is going to be treated if he's a real man of God. Jesus said in Luke 6, all preachers, woe to you if all men speak well of you. So did their fathers to the false prophets. May the Lord save us from having to be liked by everybody. Amen. It's okay if some people don't like us. It's okay if they mock us. It's okay if they despise us. It's okay if they misuse us. It's just part of the pitiful times. It's going to bring painful trials. So that these types of preachers and these types of churches are going to be unpopular in their world. You see that in these verses. We're going to be unpopular. It's okay to be unpopular. Don't know, it's all right. But they were not only unpopular in their world, these type preachers and their ministries were unsuccessful in their work. Verse 16 gives us something interesting. God raises up these prophets and God sends them and God gives them the message and God's going to use them. God's going to use them. And you would expect at the end, notice how verse 16 ends. You would expect verse 16 to say, till there was salvation. Till there was revival. Said God sent all of these prophets, one right after the other, all to the very end of that age. And here was the result of all of their ministry and all of their message and all of their work. Here was the result. It didn't result in salvation. It didn't result in revival. It resulted in there being no remedy. Did you know that the Bible teaches that the time we're living in is going to get worse and worse and worse, that it's going to get darker and darker and darker until the Lord comes back? Now, I am a premillennialist. I believe y'all are too. Those of the millennial and postmillennial position preach that the world is since Jesus came and died on the cross and rose from the dead and ascended back to heaven, the world is getting better and better and better, and more and more and more people are getting saved, and that the church is going to triumph. In that ultimately we're going to win every sinner on this earth to Jesus Christ, Everybody's going to get saved, and the church is going to set up the kingdom on earth until Jesus is so happy with us, one day he just takes us all to heaven. Is that what the Bible teaches? It's not. I want to ask you another question. Is that what's happening in the world? Is it getting better and better and better and better and better and better and better? No, the New Testament said it's going to get worse and worse and worse, just like in the Old Testament got worse and worse and worse until there wasn't no remedy. And the Bible teaches us that this age, this period or dispensation we're living in is just going to get worse and worse and worse. This is a bad situation we're in, and it ain't going to get no better. Let's don't help the bad situation out by making it worse ourselves. It's already getting worse. Like these prophets, we got to do our best to make the best of the bad situation we're in. Because it's pitiful times that produces some very painful trials until there's no remedy. You say, I sound pretty hopeless. You're telling me that God has put us here to do his work, and it ain't going to get no better? That's what I'm telling you. Are you saying, preacher, tonight that we're fighting a losing battle? That's exactly what I'm saying. But here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to quit fighting that battle just because it's a losing battle we're fighting. We're not going to say, well, we're living at the end of the age, and you know, and it, the Bible said it's going to happen, it's going to get worse and worse, and evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, and this whole thing's going to end in a Laodicean church that Christ vomits out of his mouth because it's so lukewarm. So what's the use? We'll just give. No. We're going to keep on. We're going to make the best of this bad situation. Amen. And we're going to keep on standing, and we're going to keep on preaching, and we're not going to compromise. We're not going to back up. We're not going to give up. We're not going to let up all the way till Jesus comes again. Do you ever feel sometimes like I do that, you know, I wish that I had lived and preached and pastored in another era? You ever feel like Paul, I'm one born out of due time? Wouldn't it have been great to have lived and preached and served God and gone to church in Spurgeon's day? Or Wesley and Whitfield and Edwards' day? Boy, that'd been something, wouldn't it? But you and I are like Esther, who lived at the very end of the Old Testament period. You remember what her Uncle Mordecai told her? Thou hast come into the kingdom for such a time as this. I'm almost done, but brothers and sisters, God has put us in these times right where he's put us, and we are in the kingdom for such a time as this. Pitiful times, painful trials, but I want you to think lastly about the powerful truths. The powerful truths of these prophets. It says that God not only raised up these messengers, these prophets, and sent them, but that he sent them with his words. Verse 16, his word, not the prophet's words, God's word. He had God's word. We still have God's word. So here's what every one of those prophets did all the way through Matthew, all the way through Malachi. That is, they kept on preaching the word of God, even though there was no remedy. They just kept writing the Bible. They just kept preaching the Bible, whether anybody wanted to hear it or not. They just kept on keeping on. When you study the writings of the prophets, there's two things they preached. Number one, when they preached at the end of their age, they announced judgment. Every one of these prophets stood up in their age and said, you're wicked, and if you don't repent, you're going to go to hell. Because judgment is coming. Is that what verse 16 said? Till the wrath of the Lord arose. Every one of these prophets preached warning, judgment, doom. Every one of them said, we're coming to the end. We're coming to the end. It's time to turn and burn. Every one of them pronounced judgment. But they not only pronounced judgment, every one of them announced Jesus. Every one of these prophets. You read all the books and all the prophets, every one of them talked about Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, first coming, and his second coming. So that this is the message of the prophets. Judgment is coming, but listen to me, Jesus is coming as well. So here's what we're going to do, church. At least that's what I'm going to do in a bad situation. I'm going to make the best of it. And I'm going to keep telling everybody everywhere I go, judgment is coming. And I'm going to keep telling everybody everywhere I go, Jesus is coming too. You can have judgment or you can have Jesus tonight. Amen. Let's stand together. Making the best of a bad situation. Pastor, you can come close the service tonight. Thank you all for letting me preach here today.